It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So the pros and cons of local government consolidation is an ongoing debate. Local governments provide many crossover services, police and fire protection, public works, and eliminating some duplication could lower costs. But it's a tricky balance. The Wisconsin Policy Forum did data analysis on what happens when communities combine services, and their new report is a case study on Jefferson County, including these communities. Okay, Watertown, Whitewater, Fort Atkinson, Jefferson, Lake Mills, Waterloo, and Johnson Creek. Do you live in one of these communities? How would you rate the quality of local public services? Would you be in favor of consolidating some services with your neighbor? And if so, what? We're at 800-642-1234. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That's a statewide independent policy research organization. And he joins us from our Milwaukee studios. Rob, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, before we dig into the analysis, what are these communities up against in terms of why they want to merge? What are they facing?
Well, I think some of the common characteristics that we see across communities across the entire state of Wisconsin is two factors. Number one, certainly budget constraints. It's no secret that local government budgets are tight. There are a couple of key factors that are contributing to that circumstance. One is the fact that there are some pretty stringent property tax levy limits on local governments. So they don't have the ability, even if they wanted to go out and potentially raise the revenue they need to meet the service demands of their citizens and so forth. There's also the fact that several local governments are very dependent on state aids, and the state budget has been tight, and so state aids have been stagnant over some period of time. So clearly there's a set of budget constraints, but I would argue that equally important are some human resources challenges facing local governments across Wisconsin. We have a very tight labor market, very low unemployment rates, and particularly when we look at high-skill positions, paramedics and engineers for public works departments and individuals able to do crime analysis for police departments and do GIS and so forth. Those are tough positions to fill. And so to the extent that we see governments facing common human resources challenges, there may be opportunity to try to address some of those challenges together.
Our state is aging as well. What does an aging population mean to the pressure on public services?
Well, that's a great point, and I don't think there's any question that that factor is contributing to a rise in emergency medical services calls across many municipalities. We are seeing that that is the case to some extent in Jefferson County. We've seen it to a greater extent in places like Greater Racine. But clearly, an aging population is demanding more in terms of healthcare services. And fire departments play a critical role in terms of responding, being the first responders to 911 calls. So it's also having an impact on fire services as well.
Well, let's take a call. Ron in Ridgeville is with us. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good morning, Kate, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
I guess I'd like to just reflect on what was just said as far as what our challenges are. And we have that here in rural Monroe County as well. I guess my question is, how do we balance... You know, we really value local control, of course. I think most communities do. But also to provide these services and the economic challenges that go with them. People here in rural Monroe County expect to have their roads plowed by the time they go to work. And we've got a lot of miles. In Ridgeville, we've got 39 miles of roads that we need to get through. So how do we balance the kind of local control with providing these services and to do it in a timely manner? And it's just, it really is a challenge. And, you know, consolidating, do we do it by geography? I don't know. I just, it's yeah. A real challenge. And I guess, how do we, you know, what are some, I guess, ideas on how in a very rural area, I don't know where the study was done, what the population density is, but how do we do it, in a really rural area here?
Yeah, Ron, thanks for sharing your story. Rob, what would be some pointers for him as they look at that, striking that balance between local control and the economics of providing those services?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we emphasize, and we've done several service sharing studies across the state, and we always emphasize that local control is not something to be overlooked. I mean, clearly in an ideal world, local governments are going to want to have that ability to determine how much they are spending and how they are staffing their services to meet their community needs. I think where service sharing really becomes attractive to communities, whether large or small, is that to the extent that there are either technological demands that are requiring potential purchases of expensive equipment, to the extent, again, that there's a rise in emergency medical services calls because of an aging population, the question is whether by combining forces with your neighbor, you're able to achieve a higher level of service than you could otherwise achieve on your own. So if your be-all and end-all is simply to save money, service sharing may not be right for you. Conversely, if what you're really after is you need to find a way to actually enhance your service level, and that's going to be prohibitively expensive if you try to do it by yourself, exploring opportunities with your neighbors. It could be as simple as sharing a ladder truck, even in dispersed communities. It could be sharing combining dispatch centers so that a community only has to replace one dispatch console instead of two communities having to make those expenditures separately and so forth. So equipment savings are often really one of the key advantages to the extent that dollar savings are something that you're looking for.
So it sounds like new technology as well can affect a small community's ability to provide quality services.
Absolutely. And not only new technology, but new requirements from other levels of government. So to the extent that the federal government is now requiring dispatch centers, again, as an example, to really upgrade their abilities so that they can field emergency calls not only via cell phone and landline, but via text. If the feds say this is something you have to do for several small communities, that's, again, a tough expense to make.
We're talking with Rob Henkin, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He co-authored the recent report that looked at municipal service sharing opportunities in Jefferson County. You can join in. Are you a volunteer firefighter or maybe a part-time EMT? Do you think your area would benefit from sharing these services? Did you move to your community for a local government job? Do you see recruitment issues in your area? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rob, your recent report looked at Jefferson County. You mentioned dispatch. What benefits did you find when it comes to consolidating fire and dispatch services in Jefferson County?
Sure. So first of all, let me make it clear that this report really took a sort of a 30,000-foot scan. So what we did is we just looked at the fundamental characteristics of the service provision at the municipal level and are suggesting to both municipal leaders and to county government, hey, here are a few areas where we see real potential for further analysis and possible implementation planning. So you are correct that fire and dispatch services were the two that really topped our list. I think for fire, here it's really a human resource challenge, that with the exception of Watertown, the other communities are relying largely on volunteer or paid-on-call or paid-on-premises part-time staffing. And so in this economy, in this labor market, again, filling those positions has become a challenge sort of across the board. And that can be a very serious problem. To the extent that you have to call people in when there is a major incident and you can't find the people to call in, that can obviously have some public safety consequences. So I think for fire, where we saw some real potential was the ability to try to establish sort of more mutual cooperation in terms of how fire services were going to be provided. And again, raising the possibility that instead of having three or four small departments that rely largely on part-time staff, might it make sense to create one larger department that, hypothetically speaking, could rely on full-time staff and address that retention and recruitment issue? The problem, of course, is that if you're relying on full-time staff, then you're not only paying full-time salaries, but you're paying benefits. So then the question is that cost prohibitive to those communities?
What about police and public work services in Jefferson County? What did you find there?
So there we found potential for enhanced service sharing within those functional areas, but we did not see the potential for actual mergers of complete departments. So merging the fire departments for two Jefferson County municipalities was not something that appeared to be practical or necessarily beneficial. That said, there are certain areas within police department functions, and a key one is data collection, synthesis, analysis, where several departments departments are struggling with maintaining that capability at the level they want. And so the question arose, should you pool your resources and maybe have one or two staff people that you could share that could do that function for all of you? For Public Works, here we found both human resources challenges and some service level challenges. So human resources challenges was the ability to recruit and retain some of the more technically skilled positions, engineers and so forth. Individual departments worried about losing some of their senior staff and being able to replace them. So the concept arose, well, you know, could we share engineering services? Are there architectural services that we could share, et cetera? Also, lots of discussion about the potential ability to share some expensive equipment. There are certain types of equipment that individual municipal governments feel that they have to purchase for their use, but they're really only using that equipment for a couple of weeks during the year. So that, again, suggests a potential opportunity to share it. The downside there is typically when one community needs it, so will the other community. So you can't share a snowplow because when it snows, you all need that plow.
Well, when you look at Jefferson County and you've done these analyses around the state, do you come to similar conclusions about where you see crossover and when it's good and when it's not?
You know, that's been one of the real interesting parts of doing so many of these analyses and in different types of communities, from smaller villages and more or less densely populated areas to some of the most densely populated areas of the state in Greater Racine, for example, and of course in Milwaukee County. And I think it really differs. I mean, when we go in, we take a look at a few key factors that sort of are our initial barometers in letting us know just how great the potential might be. We look at whether there's, again, a high cost of new technology that's going to have to be shared, whether there are pending retirements that are going to suggest various personnel issues, whether you can clearly see that there is cost inefficiency in terms of the way services are provided. So it really, there's no clear distinction between whether you're urban or rural, whether you're a large city or a small village. But also one other overriding factor is, do you sort of go into this with a willingness to cooperate with your neighbors?
Stopping right there in just a moment here, Rob Henken, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, will be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're finding out whether consolidating municipal services actually lowers local government expenditures. It seems plausible that when you share facilities and staffing and technology and other overhead, that will create efficiencies. We're looking at a recent Jefferson County case study from the Wisconsin Policy Forum on what happens when you merge government services and when it does become cost-effective. Do you work for local or county government? What challenges are you facing in your ability to provide public services? Did you move to your community for a local government job? Do you see recruiting issues in your area? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and he co-authored its recent report. He stays with us. So, Rob, you've been looking at communities big and small and doing this data analysis. Can consolidation happen on a much smaller scale? Where do you see the nuance?
Again, another very good question. And so we tend to come in and be asked to assist by counties or groups of local governments when they really want to look at some of the more comprehensive service sharing options. And those more comprehensive, of course, the most comprehensive is to actually combine departments. There's a whole real array of options when it comes to service sharing. Some are as basic as I've mentioned, as sharing a piece of equipment, of jointly procuring for either services like healthcare administration or engineering services and so forth. And it sort of then runs across a range of options that are more or less comprehensive. The good news is that communities out there don't need the Wisconsin Policy Forum or don't need to hire for-profit consultants to come in and do analyses when it comes to potentially sharing a position or sharing a piece of equipment or some of those more elementary levels of service service sharing. That's something that, frankly, we hope will just occur naturally. It's a good practice, as is now occurring in many areas across the state, for groups of local municipal officials within counties, either their administrators or the chief elected officials, to get together on a regular basis and just talk about where there may be opportunities to increase service efficiencies and, again, respond to mutual demands that these communities are facing to enhance services, whether they can cooperate in some way to make that happen in a more efficient fashion.
So when you're running the numbers, you're analyzing the costs and the benefits of services sharing across communities. How do you factor in time? You know, time is money. And if it takes 3 months to merge services, or it takes over a year for two departments to be able to merge, is the consolidation still worth it? How does that time impact the success of that merger?
So I think you'd have to look at that on a case-by-case basis. What I can tell you as a resident of Milwaukee County's North Shore, Milwaukee County's North Shore has a consolidated fire department between seven communities. It is widely held up as one of the most successful examples of intergovernmental municipal consolidation, not only in Milwaukee County or the state of Wisconsin, but in the nation. And I can say to you that it took 10 years from when the discussions first started about potentially consolidating those seven fire departments until it actually happened.
10 years.
Now, does that mean that there were staff spending 40 hours a week analyzing it? No, of course not. But these things can take time, and there are some tough issues. So I think it really depends. But I think in the case of the North Shore, and we did a report back in 2015 where we documented about $2.8 million of annual savings per year for those seven communities combined. So I would imagine that the time spent was worth it.
Sticking to that area, you looked at the potential to share parks and rec services in Racine County. What did you find there?
Yeah, so that was a specific look at the communities in Greater Racine. So it was looking at not only Racine County Parks and Rec Services, but City of Racine and the villages of Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, and Sturtevant. And there we found, going in, we thought that there might be some pretty high potential to have just a unified Greater Racine Parks Department. The fact that you have people working for the city and the villages and the county, they're all maintaining parks within those jurisdictions. In the case of the county, they're maintaining parks within the City of Racine, yet you also have a City of Racine Parks Department. We thought there might be real potential to create a single unified department. When we then really dug in, however, we found that there were already lots of efficiencies occurring. The fact that these smaller communities were using workers who were doing both parks and public works and spending more of their time on parks in the summer and public works in the winter made a lot of sense. So instead, we saw some other options. In terms of recreation, there we saw potential to look at least administering recreation programs universally across the communities. In terms of planning for future parks, we saw a lot of potential for enhanced cooperation and collaboration. But I think that's a great example where actual functional consolidation, at least in our eyes, did not seem to be the best answer.
Talking with policy researcher Rob Henkin, who is with us as we explore the potential costs and benefits of shared municipal services. The Wisconsin Policy Forum is out with a new report on those opportunities in Jefferson County. Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Curious, Rob, you mentioned that communities really sitting down, talking with each other, having good relationships across boundaries, across municipalities. But you also have to, bear in mind that there's competition. There's competition for residents. There's competition for businesses. You want to build the best amenities that perhaps is maybe even better than your neighbor. How do you account for that?
It's a problem that we often face. And there's also sort of this sense of community pride. For some elected officials, it's important to have the name of that community on the fire truck or the medical unit. And you're right. From an economic development perspective, there is competition. I think one of the things, though, that research has shown is that economic development often is best approached on a more regional level, that having neighboring communities competing at that level, really none of them benefits from that type of a situation, and instead of, you know, both potentially benefiting. So I think really you sort of have to overcome that. And again, I would emphasize that if you want to look at this because your budget is tight and you need $1 million for something else, that it may not be the right reason to be looking at service sharing. I think the best way to look at cooperating with your neighbors is to say, hey, look, we as a single community can't afford to have the number of paramedics that we would like to have going out on our medical units. We're sending out first responders, but we don't have a paramedic level of care. And we can't afford to get out to that level ourselves. But boy, maybe if we created a joint advanced life support service with two or three of our neighbors, we could really staff that service the way we want. We could pool our resources, and it would be much more affordable for us to do that.
But putting financial savings first at the top of the list may not be the right way to go.
Yep. And again, I say may not. There are cases where yeah, particularly on the capital side, there's some real opportunity for savings there. But it's really cost avoidance. It's, you're not necessarily going to spend less tomorrow than you're spending today if you consolidate services with your neighbor. But you may indeed be spending far less tomorrow than you would otherwise be spending tomorrow if you did not consolidate. So that's really the calculus.
Let's bring in Mike in Chippewa Falls quickly. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. I'm wondering if the speaker could talk to evaluation metrics after implementation of shared services. How do you determine whether it's poor performance or if it just simply wasn't the right idea for the situation?
Yeah, Mike, great question. What is the postmortem here? What do you look at after the share, after you share services?
Yep. Well, so it obviously depends on the service, but let's just use fire as an example and the North Shore Fire Department as an example. We looked at the ISO ratings, which are insurance industry ratings on fire protection, and we found that indeed for those communities, the ISO ratings had improved. You can look at response times when it comes to both fire and EMS, and you can look at costs. I mean, you can do a postmortem that can really show you, hey, here's what we were spending before consolidation, and if we simply adjusted for inflation for 5 years, here's what we would have been spending compared to what we're now spending. And so I think those would be some of the keys for, again, different types of services. There are different metrics that you would want to look at. Public health is an area we haven't touched upon where we have seen some real potential for public health services to be provided over broader geographic areas among multiple communities. That's really the norm now in the state of Wisconsin, but there are still a couple places, and Milwaukee County is the foremost, where there are still individual municipal public health departments. There are indicators like, disease occurrences and measurements of all sorts of health indicators.
Rob, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate.
Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He joined us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee. And you can find a link to his report. It's called Greater Than the Sum. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, it's fish fry season. We learn how a yellow perch shortage may affect businesses and restaurants. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.